Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of March 7th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes or wherever you are today. So we spend time together this day in the presence of God and in His Word. I pray that the service will be a blessing to you. As we open up God's Word this morning, I pray that you will open your heart to what God has for you today. For spending time in the presence of God and alongside our fellow believers is one of the greatest blessings that we have been given in Christ. We are made to worship our great God. He made us and He has saved us, and He alone is worthy of our praise. I want to continue to encourage you to come out on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our gathered worship service. For many of you, the safety protocols that we have in place make it a safe and secure environment for you to come. I want to encourage you to come and worship together with us. For others who still, because of their physical condition, are unable to join us, just continue to know that we miss you, we pray for you, and we long for the day when we can all gather again together in worship here at Wyndham Community Chapel in Dummerston, Vermont. Well, today, the words of 1 Peter call us into worship. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Pray with me as we begin today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us out of the darkness of sin and death and into your light of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate the blessing of being able to gather in your presence, and we gather to praise and worship you, which is the reason why you created us. Our purpose in life is only to serve you. We ask that the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and in this service as we offer our gifts of praise to you today. We invite Him to open our spiritual eyes that we may see more clearly you today. We desire to offer our prayers and our responses to your holy word as a spiritual sacrifice to you this day, as we worship you in spirit and in truth, inhabit the praise of your people, and be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few reminders for you today. We are grateful for God's provision to our church, particularly during this last year of COVID. Thank you for your faithful giving to our church. I want to encourage you to continue to give. And you can drop off your offerings here at the church, bring them with you on Sunday mornings, or just send them in the mail, and we'd be happy to process those for you. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is Daylight Savings Time, Sunday, March 14th. So don't forget to set your clocks ahead before you go to bed on Saturday night, because if you don't, then I'll be seeing you an hour early next Sunday morning. And don't forget that coming up April 2nd is our Good Friday service, and this year we'll be joining together with some of the other churches in Brattleboro for a live online service. And those details for how you can get online to view that service will be coming in the days ahead. We continue in our sermon series, Discipleship in an Instant Society, using the Psalms of Ascent as our text. Each one of these psalms is God's provision, a reminder of God's provision to us on our faith journey. So I encourage you to read those psalms, read them in the week preceding the week that I'll be preaching on that, and continue to look and be reminded of God's provision for us on our faith journey of faith. And also, men's Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock here at the church. Ladies' Bible studies on Tuesday mornings at 9:30. And again, we are keeping safe by using our face masks and social distancing. Well, one of the great privileges we have as we gather each week is to come corporately before God in prayer. And I invite you to do that with me today. Heavenly Father, we thank you and call on your name. We glory in you, our God, who is our strength. You have told us to seek your presence continually, and so we do that now. You have told us to remember the wondrous works you have done for us, and we do that now. You are our God. There is none like you. You never promise what you will not keep. You never fail, regardless of how small and insignificant we might appear. You have a people purchased by the blood of your Son, and you will bring them all into glory. But Lord, we have sinned and failed and doubted you this week. We have not been who we are in Christ. We have loved the world and ignored your word. We have forgotten you by thinking so much of ourselves. Please forgive us. Just as you plucked Israel out of Egypt, just as you rescued David from the giant, just as you snatched Paul on the road of Damascus, you have saved us, redeemed us, called us, purchased us, predestined us, foreknown us, justified us, glorified us. We are yours, and all our hope is in you. We believe we will stand in the day of judgment only because of your precious Son. He has done all this for us. Even more, he has given his life in exchange for ours. You, and you alone, are worthy of our praise and of our lives. And now, Lord, we desire the good news of your salvation to extend throughout all the earth. We ask that you bless our city. Let us see more conversions. Bring the lost into this place and let them meet you here. Bless the work of Branches Pregnancy Resource Center. As we heard the report last week, Father, give them both money and staff to let every woman in Brattleboro know that she is not alone, that the life she carries is precious, and that abortion is not her only option. Bless Liz as she leads this ministry. Lord, there are some people in our lives that are in special need of your touch. We think of Alva Jean Unwin and ask for your healing touch on her life. Thank you that she's home from the hospital. Father, continue to help her to respond well to the antibiotics and restore her strength and her health. Now, Lord, as we prepare to spend time in your word, would you prepare our hearts to receive it? May it change us. For what good is hearing it unless it changes us? Wash us, shape us, refine us, shatter our misconceptions about you. Reconstruct our values. Make us different. Make us less and you more, for that would be the best thing. And do all this for Jesus' sake, we ask. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm 129. So we're on the back side of our sermon series. Today we're looking at the theme of perseverance. And the title to this message is God with us. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. How many have heard that saying? Did your parents use it like mine did when I faced difficulties or problems? If you are breathing this morning, you know that life is full of challenges and opportunities to fail, especially for the disciple of Jesus Christ, who is intent upon pleasing God. This morning we come to Psalm 129 in our series of sermons on discipleship in an instant society. For the followers of Jesus who traveled three times each year to Jerusalem to worship the God of their salvation, these psalms were sung to remind them of God's provision for them in this life. As we review these psalms today, I'm struck with the truth that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is a long obedience in the same direction. In fact, our passage this morning reminds us of this truth. For it is in the testing of our faith that our inner spirit is strengthened and our relationship with God grows. Under the weight of difficult times in life, your heart is revealed. Under the pain of persecution, your beliefs are sorely tested. Under the times of great inner pain and suffering is our soul's true character revealed. It is in these times and under these circumstances where character is formed and disciples are made. You're probably thinking, isn't there another way? Is this the only way that our faith grows, our character is forged into Christ, and we become his disciples? And the answer is, no, there is no other way. The way of the cross is treacherous and difficult at times. But remember, it leads us to God who provides everything we need for our journey of faith. Though the enemy of our souls has placed many obstacles and landmines in our path, God gives us security that our lives are safely hid in him and cannot be snatched away. God assures us of his constant presence and ever-present help as we encounter troubles. We remember that God gives us unshakable joy that cannot be taken away, regardless of what we're facing. Not only that, but God makes us happy by providing us with overwhelming blessings because we trust in him. And by the way, God has great plans for you and will accomplish great things because of you in his kingdom if you remain faithful to him. So yes, the way of the cross is wonderfully difficult and eternally rewarding. To those on this journey of faith, our song today focuses upon perseverance or stick-to-itiveness. Follow along as I read for us Psalm 129. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. With it the reaper cannot fill his hands, nor the one who gathers fills his arms. May those who pass by not say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. This song starts with an anguished cry of truth. They have oppressed me from my youth. It is repeated to emphasize the depth of the suffering and the pain that it caused. The psalmist is recalling the days of Israel's youth, the days of the Egyptian captivity where their cruel slavery led them to almost give up hope in God. Where their oppression seemed like it would never end and that God had abandoned them in their misery. And then the writer transitions from this memory with the word, but. They have not gained the victory over me. In these simple words, we discover that on this journey to God, we must have a tough faith. All of us in our relationship with God experience what I call a crisis of faith. Moments of time when we come face to face with God in the midst of incredible struggles. Here you must determine whether God is who He claims to be and whether His promises are true, because the circumstances of your life certainly tell you something completely different than that. These times are defining moments in your life and relationship with God. It is in these times that you decide whether you will continue on in the fight of faith or retreat to the grandstand of life where so many of your fellow believers are. And you're not alone. Listen to the events in 1 month from the life of one of the church's great fathers. This comes directly from the diary of John Wesley. Sunday a.m., May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached in St. John's. Deacons said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached in St. Somebody Else's. Apparently it's a real church. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on street. Kicked off street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in meadow. Chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town. Kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. Perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, not giving up when things get tough. This is a mark of discipleship. The people of God are tough. For centuries, from the very beginning of Israel's journey with God, the world has waged war against the people of faith and have not won. They have tried everything. War, slavery, persecution, ridicule, exile, even death. But the way of faith has continued on, healthy and strong. The psalmist uses two illustrations to describe the persecution they faced. First, in verse 3, he uses farming to emphasize the extreme pain endured with these words. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. The picture is that of a Christian stretched out on the ground on his stomach, arms and legs tied to stakes driven into the ground, being run over by a plow driven by an ox, leaving behind long, bloody furrows in their back. And then the plowman turns the team around and comes back and makes another bloody row of deep cuts in his back. The pain is severe, and the Christian is unable to do anything about it. He is at the mercy of the plowman. The second illustration is found in verse 6 with these words, may they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. Rooftops were flat and made of mud for insulation. Sometimes the wind blew grass seed onto it and grass sprouted but never lasted because of the intense midday sun. It always withered and died. No one ever was able to harvest its crop for feeding the livestock or making flour. This illustration is made tongue-in-cheek. It is a cartoon designed to bring a smile to the people of faith. The very idea of people harvesting grass from rooftops was absurd, a ridiculous thought. And here's the tough faith part. Because the Lord is righteous, he has cut the reins that attach the plow to the ox, thereby freeing the Christian from his hopeless condition. Because the Lord is righteous, he will ensure that the grass on the rooftops withers before it can be harvested and used by the enemies of God's people. God will rescue his children from calamity and painful situations that they cannot escape from on their own. He will also make sure that his enemies don't achieve their evil intentions at the expense of God's people. You just need to be patient and wait for God to work on your behalf. You see, the world thinks it can plow a field and trample all over God's people and his purposes. However, if they bothered to look behind them, they would discover that the plow was disengaged and all their work was for nothing. They naively think that they could get a harvest of grain from the rooftops, but as they climb up on the ladder to harvest it, it withers before their eyes. All their efforts prove to be worthless and futile in the end. Now, this can only happen in our lives if our faith is tough and we persevere through the tough times that we face. It is only going to happen if we acknowledge that God is righteous and works all things for the good to those who love him. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of hearing only one side of the story. Like at a funeral, I've listened to eulogies of people I know well and wondered if I perhaps was in the wrong funeral home. The comments made almost deified this person and had little resemblance to the person I knew in life. I used to have a bumper sticker in my office that read, "Live, so the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral." I added this underneath it, "Because this preacher won't." I think pastors sometimes do that when they preach. They romanticize the Christian life and make it seem so easy. Well, the psalmist resisted this temptation by including this sentence in verse 5. "May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame." In this sentence, we see the passion of patience. In our instant society, we want justice immediately. We want God to destroy our enemies in front of our eyes so that we can enjoy it. If truth be told, we want it now in order to justify our faith in God, kind of like a fleece for God. The psalmist says in verse 5, "May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame." Another translation says it this way, "Let them all be put to shame and turned backward who hate Zion." Anger and passion seethe in this simple sentence. A sense of wrong and injustice has been festering for a while. This accumulative effect is a desire for vindication and even retribution. Do you ever feel that way? Be honest. We all feel that way sometimes. When our reputation has suffered irreparable damage due to false accusations or rumors, when we unjustly lose a job because we won't lie or fudge an expense report, when a drunk driver kills a loved one and gets off with probation. There are times in our long obedience of Christian discipleship when we get tired and fatigue draws our tempers short. For some, this results in instant verbal explosion and ugly decisions. For others, it means a quiet, slow simmer that builds and builds until there she blows. For everyone, this inner conflict has the potential of real damage in their relationship with God and each other. Even in verse 8, we see the sinful attitude coming through. "May those who pass by not say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.' This was a traditional greeting given to each person you cross paths with. Today we'd probably say, "Hi, how you doing?" The point the writer was making is that even the common courtesy of saying hi is being withheld from their enemies. Though we can identify with the psalmist's vindictiveness, we cannot excuse it. The teaching of Scripture forbids it. God says in Proverbs 24:17, "Do not gloat when your enemy falls, when he stumbles. Do not let your heart rejoice." I love the way God worded that. Do not let your heart rejoice. You see, God knows that is what our heart wants to do and will do unless we stop it. Jesus said it this way, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Perseverance does not mean perfect. It means we keep going. We don't quit when times get too tough, and we don't quit when we react by sinning and in anger. It just means that we have some more work to do on our journey of faith and that God is not done working on us yet. Perseverance is not resignation either. It doesn't make excuses for our sinful behavior. It doesn't ever allow us to think or say the words, "That's just the way I am." Endurance in our journey to God means that we are constantly working on our sin weaknesses under the power of the Holy Spirit. It always leads us to victory over our sins and the passions of our patience. It leads us to hope, as we will discover next week. In Psalm 130, we find these words of encouragement. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." The forgiveness of God is awaiting our sin and the passions of our patience. The only thing that stands in its way is your willingness to repent of your sin and turn away from your heart's natural inclination. The ball is in your court. For perseverance in our journey of faith is possible because God is righteous, and he sticks with us through the thick and thin and our ups and downs. The cornerstone sentence of this psalm is found in verse 4. "The Lord is righteous." At its root, righteousness is a word of relationship. It speaks of a right relationship between Creator and his creation. It affirms that those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and therefore on this journey of faith, are in right relationship with their Creator God. It is because the Lord is righteous that Christians can look back over a long life full of disappointments, unannounced tragedies, unexpected setbacks, and see it as a road of blessing, and actually celebrate it by making a song about it. We say, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me." God sticks with his relationship. He established this personal relationship and will not desert us in our times of trouble. God is righteous. The central reality on our journey of faith is that God has made a personal, unalterable, and persevering commitment to us. He will stick with us. Because perseverance is not the result of our determination, but rather a result of God's faithfulness to us. We can persevere because God is righteous and sticks with us whatever we go through. And because this is true, we must pay attention to God's righteousness and focus less upon our own attempts to be good. We need to find meaning for our lives, not by probing our moods and motives, but by believing in God's word, His will, and His purposes. We need to chart the faithfulness of God in our lives like a road map of faith. Some of you may recall a sermon I preached from the book of Joshua entitled, I Remember When. In it, I talked about our need to erect monuments in our lives that remind us of God's faithfulness in times of crisis. You might remember I asked this, what miracles has God done in your life that deserve to be remembered by a memorial? In what ways has God delivered you in the past from danger? How has God led you when you faced a particularly difficult decision? What blessing has God graciously bestowed upon you? What tremendous victories has God won in your life? How many times has God provided encouragement to you when you thought all hope was lost? Do you want to improve your spiritual memory? Erect memories in your memorials in your life and frequently use them to share with people about how great and powerful God is. Use them to remind yourself and others that God brings deliverance to those who turn to Him in faith. Firmly place them in your lives so that when you undergo difficulties and trials, they will be a reminder of God's power and faithfulness to you. Know that God is powerful and is to be feared above all gods, now and forevermore. In the center of this journey of faith is the discovery that God is righteous. He sticks with us through the good and bad times, our victories, and even our defeats. And in these moments, we understand that discipleship is a decision to walk in His ways now and always. It is finding that our tough faith rests upon God's faithfulness. It is acknowledging that we sometimes slip up and passionately sin instead of trusting our faithful God. And then we fall upon God's mercy and repent of our sin and receive His forgiveness and remember that God sticks with us till the end of our journey of faith. Though there are endless challenges in our life, there is always a righteous God with us to make it possible for us to persevere. Remember, when the going gets tough, God is with us. Let's pray together. Lord, we all admit, at times, we've felt like giving up and throwing in the spiritual towel. Life has beat us up and left us bleeding and injured. The temptation to just go with the flow is sometimes overpowering. Yet today, you've reminded us of your faithful provision for us in these moments. Our natural instinct is to tough it out ourselves, but You are our righteous provision for times of difficulty and trouble. So, Lord, instead of us trying to be good, help us to rely upon Your righteousness. Help us to strengthen our faith today and in times of calm, in preparations for the storms of life when they come, and they will come. In the times that we get weary from not seeing the results we desire, help us to persevere and patiently wait upon you, the God of our salvation. Help us to always decide to walk in your ways and not our own, trusting in our faithful God to carry us through. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we close today's service with this benediction from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and give you a good week.